The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, chokers and chokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Very important day today. It's election day in a lot of places around the country for primary and local elections. Here in Portland, we are voting on whether or not to put fluoride in our water. I know this is weird for people all around the country. Almost every other city in America has fluoride in their water. Here in Portland, we're voting on whether or not to do that, and we will see how that vote turns out. But it's been a pretty strong campaign on both sides. We'll give you all the information on tomorrow's show. But the important election for the marijuana community is down in Los Angeles, California, where they've got three different propositions on the ballot to decide how the city should deal with marijuana dispensaries. We're going to talk about that in our Behind the Headlines today. You all the details on Proposition D, E, and F, and our endorsement of LA's Proposition D and why we're endorsing that one. Also on today's show, we're going to go back into the vaults and bring you an interview with Mark Kleiman. He was Washington State's pot czar. We interviewed him last July on his opinions about marijuana legalization, and based on some of his responses, I don't feel too good about him running Washington State's pot industry, but you can make your own decisions when you listen to that interview at half past the hour. And in the Radical Rant today, we're going to go off on medical marijuana again. Just who is too politically sensitive to protect under these medical marijuana laws? Given the trajectory of the recent changes in medical marijuana, it's looking like fewer and fewer and fewer sick and disabled people can qualify under these laws. At what point does it become a losing proposition for legalization? We'll talk about that in today's Radical Rant. Also on today's show, we got Bacon Dan calling in. We've got our Electric Tuesday tune for you today. And for Electric Tuesday today, we've got an interesting song called Kalimba by Mr. Scruff. So check that out. But first, we've got to get to our 420 radio headline news. And in the headlines today, a lot of stories out of California. The California Senate is trying to force all dispensaries to be nonprofit. The San Diego mayor is vocally and publicly calling for jury nullification in a federal dispensary case. And speaking of dispensaries, the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't care whether or not you can go to a dispensary in California. Also, in Washington State, pigs are eating pot. We'll tell you why. And in Springfield, Missouri, the kangaroo court called the city council continues to fight against decriminalization. What are they going to do about it? We'll find out next on The Russ Belville Show.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business.
It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department is continuing to put people in jail for sale and use, on occasion, of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, and hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. California Senate moves to crush medical marijuana profits from the Ross story. A bill approved by the California State Senate on Monday would further restrict the state's medical marijuana industry by requiring the end of all for-profit sales of the drug to licensed patients and caregivers. Provisions in SB 439 would also place even greater records-keeping requirements on dispensary owners who would still be entitled to reasonable compensation for their time and efforts. Chris Lindsley, legislative analyst for the Marijuana Policy Project, told Ross Story, quote, "Everybody benefits from tighter regulations," end quote. Over 200 municipalities have banned pot shops outright, actions which the California Supreme Court upheld, and on Tuesday, Los Angeles voters will decide on competing initiatives that deal with the same issue. The city council's favorite initiative, Proposition D, would dramatically shrink the number of dispensaries in the city. Measure F, which dispensaries support, would impose higher taxes on dispensary revenues and allow store owners to launch their own industry-wide set of voluntary regulations. If Measure F passes, however, the council still has the ability to completely ban all dispensaries within the city limits. Filner urges jury nullification in medical pot dispensary case from NBC San Diego. San Diego Mayor Bob Filner has injected himself into a federal criminal case against the operator of a medical marijuana dispensary, intensifying his standoff with federal prosecutors on cannabis enforcement issues. Filner's urging jurors who will be chosen for the trial to reject federal law in favor of state statutes under a centuries-old legal concept known as jury nullification, whereby jurors can refuse to convict people under laws they believe should not be applied. It's a bold, brash move that's potentially controversial and politically risky for a mayor. Filner spoke after attending a pretrial hearing for Ronnie Chang, a San Marcos man busted along with more than a dozen marijuana collective and dispensary operators countywide in late 2009. The mayor is calling on Chang's eventual jurors to send a message, quote, "It's time, like with prohibition, to step back and say this was a stupid thing to do," Filner said outside the courthouse. "Let's step back, and juries ought to take the lead and say that to the federal government. And if the federal government isn't listening to the mayor, maybe they'll listen to the jury." Marijuana users denied high court hearing from the San Francisco gate. 2 weeks after the California Supreme Court ruled that cities could bar medical marijuana dispensaries, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected a separate case Monday brought by disabled Californians who claimed the local bans violated federal disability law. The four plaintiffs, all from Orange County, said conventional treatments have failed to relieve their pain. They argued that cutting off their local supply of doctor-approved marijuana denies their right to equal treatment under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The suit denied Monday was based on language in the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act allowing disabled individuals to use otherwise illegal drugs, quote, taken under supervision by a licensed healthcare professional or other uses authorized, end quote, by federal law. With that provision, the plaintiffs argued the law expressly protected their use of medical marijuana under a doctor's supervision, but the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals read the language differently in May 2012, ruling 2-1 that it protected only doctor-supervised use that was authorized under federal law. Marijuana waste helps turn pot-eating pigs into tasty pork roast. From Yahoo.com. Susanna Gross, who owns a 5-acre farm north of Seattle, is part of a group experimenting with a solution that seems to make the most of marijuana's appetite-enhancing properties, turning weed waste into pig food. Four pigs, whose feed was supplemented with potent plant leavings during the last 4 months of their lives, ended up 20 to 30 pounds heavier than the half dozen other pigs from the same litter when they were all sent to slaughter in March. Gross said, quote, "They were eating more, as you can imagine." Springfield votes against weakened marijuana penalties, from KansasCity.com. Springfield, Missouri's city council has voted again not to lower the penalties for possession of small amounts of marijuana. Last summer, proponents gathered enough signatures to put the issue to a public vote, but council members declined to put it on the November ballot. Instead, the council approved the petition and then repealed it at the first opportunity. In response, the proponent's attorney, Chip Shepard, worked with the city staff and Councilwoman Cindy Reshefsky to draft an amended proposal with a goal of putting it on the August ballot. The council voted 6-2 not to approve the first proposal, then agreed unanimously not to put the alternative up for a vote. Opponents argued that the decriminalization of marijuana possession should be done by the state, if at all. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at today's Los Angeles election and propositions D, E, and F for the regulation of medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Medical marijuana right for you? When you are stricken by an illness, injury, or disability, you deserve to live your life as free from pain and suffering as possible. Modern medical researchers have developed some amazing pharmaceutical drugs, but these may not be the best solution for you. At Alternative Medical Choices, we help collect your medical records history and provide a physician's review and examination to help you qualify for the use of medical marijuana in Oregon and Washington State. Call 971-270-0262 or visit altmedchoices.com for more information and to schedule an appointment today. Alternative Medical Choices, because you deserve the best in healthcare.
Marijuana is harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Paid for by the We're Not Even Trying Anymore, We Made It All Up Anti-Drug Whatever Thing of America.
The Russ Belleville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And of course, the big news today is the election in Los Angeles, where people are getting to decide between three different measures that have been put up in Los Angeles to regulate the dispensary industry there. And this is an important election in wake of the recent California Supreme Court decision in that Riverside case that has said that localities have the right to ban dispensaries. They can zone them out of existence. They can use the power of zoning to be able to make it so impossible for them to open that they're basically bans. And we've seen that the U.S. Supreme Court now has denied any sort of Americans with Disability claim against that. Not that it had much chance, considering that, according to the federal government, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. So the people of Los Angeles find themselves in a very precarious position. Right now, there are hundreds of dispensaries that have opened, and the Los Angeles City Council has done everything they can to try to ban them. In the past, they passed a ban on dispensaries. They've passed moratoriums on dispensaries. They'd be completely banned in Los Angeles if not for a lawsuit that forced them to stay open. So a lot of these propositions have to do with the specific date of, or specific year of 2007, being that when the Los Angeles City Council came up with this moratorium and decided they were only going to let the shops that had been opened to remain open. Now, here's what you got going on in Los Angeles today. There's Proposition D, Proposition E, and Proposition F. Proposition D would reduce the number of cannabis dispensaries to just about 135 of them. That is the number of ones that had opened prior to the 2007 moratorium. So the longtime players in the industry would be allowed to stay open. It would also increase taxes on those businesses just a bit. Proposition E would be the same number of clinics, the same 135 or so would be allowed to stay open, the ones that were open before 2007, but there'd be no increase in taxes. And it's interesting because Proposition E was put up by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and now they've dropped their support for Proposition E and they're backing Proposition D. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then Proposition F would have no limit on the number of dispensaries, but would put controls like audits and background checks on employees. Proposition F would also raise taxes, and Proposition F would engage the industry in voluntary regulations and controls. Now, the proposition that gets the most votes wins, but the winner has to have a majority, right? So if Proposition D gets 49 and E gets 46 and F gets 40, then none of them win. One of them has to break 50% in order to win. If none of them break 50%, the issue goes back to the Los Angeles City Council, which, as we've seen back in 2012, wants to ban all the dispensaries. Now, a lot of the dispensary people are behind Proposition F, and that makes a ton of sense since they would want to open up shops, and this provides no limit on the shops. They don't have to be open before 2007. I can understand their reasoning on that. But given the political climate, given the fact that Los Angeles City wants to ban dispensaries and California Supreme Court has given them the go-ahead to do so, I think the smart vote, the practical vote in this matter is Proposition D. It seems like the city council is willing to work with a Proposition D victory that's going to limit the number of dispensaries to 135. And I know that's not a whole lot. You know, Los Angeles is huge geographically, and 135 dispensaries, especially if the zoning ends up that you can only open in certain industrial or agricultural areas or whatever they might choose, could make it more difficult for patients to get their medicine. But I really think this vote today comes down to a vote between Proposition D and 135 dispensaries, or none of them winning and Los Angeles banning all of them. Remember, if Proposition F passes and allows as many dispensaries as want, that doesn't mean there have to be dispensaries. Los Angeles still has the right to ban them. And I have a feeling the Los Angeles City Council won't like Proposition F passing, And given the choice between having unlimited dispensaries or using their power of zoning to ban them, I think they will ban them. The smart vote today is Proposition D, the one that can pass, get 50% of the vote, and will not draw the ire of the Los Angeles City Council to just ban dispensaries altogether. And damn it, I hate when I have to make practical suggestions to people.
Especially those who are supposed to be running things.
There shouldn't be a limit. It should be market controlled, but I gotta take what you can get sometimes.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Mindy the Moocher.
Electric Tuesday. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter, call me the ganja fan.
Groovin' Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday.
Like the
then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
All right, I assure you, tokers and tokettes, it is purely coincidence that I had the story about pot-fed pigs when we have Bacon Dan calling in. How you doing, Dan?
I am very good on this beautiful wet day here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, it is a beautiful day, and we are looking forward here in the Pacific Northwest to having some of that pot-fed bacon. Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, that sounds amazing. When I saw that story this morning, I'm not going to lie, I got pretty excited.
You were the first person I thought of when I saw that story, and a couple of other details on that, just real quick, since we were talking about pigs.
Yes.
It's the rare time when a story has pigs and marijuana and nobody's going to jail. But anyway, the European Food Safety Authority reported in 2011 that there were no studies concerning tolerance or effects of graded levels of THC in food-producing animals that has been found in any of the literature. Nobody's really studied whether if you feed these pigs a lot of THC, whether it shows up in the bacon. Bacon's
right.
Fat, right? I mean, lipids, fat-soluble, so wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome. That would really make my day. It would make maple bacon bars from Voodoo Donuts even better.
It would almost set up like a synergy, kind of a loop there, right? You eat the maple bacon with the THC, and it gives you the munchies, so you go back and eat the maple bacon with the THC, and it gives you the munchies, and oh my God, we may explode from maple bacon bars here. All right.
It's a good way to go, though.
Enough talking about the bacon. Let's get to the music, Bacon Dan. What do we got today?
All right, well, we've got Mr. Scruff, who really needs no introduction, one of the biggest electronic DJs coming out of England. He's been doing this since about 94. This is off the Ninja Tuna album. This song was actually considered so good, it was packaged in the Microsoft Windows 7 releases as a complimentary song to have on the computers.
Oh, excellent.
So this is really good stuff. It's one of my favorite songs just to sit back, relax to. Highly recommend anybody checking out Mr. Scruff. I mean, like I said, he's been going for a long time, and he's been known for marathon performances where he'll perform for 6+ hours. Just keep going, keep going, keep going.
All right. Well, here it is, Mr. Scruff with Kalimba. Thanks, Beck and Dan. We'll see you later.
No problem.
We'll be right back. Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense that is the only one to provide that influence.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We can.
Activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Taking now back to a replay from July.
The inclusive diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition.
An earlier interview I did with Dr. Mark Kleiman, who is now the head of Washington State's pot czar. All right, welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, we're waiting for our call from Dr. Mark Kleiman, PhD. He's one of the co-authors of a new book entitled Marijuana Legalization, Everything You Need to Know. And this is getting a lot of play on various websites, and I've got a couple up here that have made a point of it. On Huffington Post, the headline is, pot legalization could result in a joint costing a few cents. This also from Slate. They say it continues to be totally off the radar of prominent politicians, but polls indicate that large and growing numbers of Americans are open to the idea of legalizing marijuana. They point out the 50% in the Gallup poll, the 56% in the Rasmussen poll. Now, this article claims that those polls are outliers, meaning, you know, those are just exceptions, and most, you know, a lot of polls are still in the upper 40s on this issue. But I wouldn't say that they're that much outliers, considering there have now been seven separate polls since 2009 that have shown a majority support for marijuana legalization. The Rasmussen and Gallup polls that were already mentioned, but there are also Angus Reid has produced three polls that have shown this, and there's been a couple of others that have shown above 50%. So it's not so much of an outlier. They also point out that the young voters are much more in support of legalization, and older voters are much more against it. So sooner or later, we have to have an increase in support as those older voters are no longer with us. But according to this new book by Jonathan Calkins, Angela Hawken, Bo Kilmer, and our upcoming guest, Dr. Mark Kleiman, Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know, is that legal pot would be amazingly cheap. In fact, mid-grade stuff would be so cheap, this again according to Slate Magazine, mid-grade stuff would be so cheap that it might make sense for businesses to give it away, like ketchup packets or bar nuts. Conventional thinking about pot pricing is often dominated by people's experience buying weed in legal or quasi-legal settings, such as Dutch coffee shops or California medical marijuana dispensaries. But this is badly misleading. Neither California nor the Netherlands permit growing or wholesale distribution of marijuana as a legal matter. If pot were fully legal, its growth, distribution, and marketing would work entirely differently. Another headline on this book that's very interesting comes from Rolling Stone magazine posted today. Pot legalization is coming. They are pointing out here that in November, voters in three states could approve ballot measures to legalize marijuana, and not just for medicinal purposes, for getting high purposes. They point out that about half of America would be fine with that. Again, the support for marijuana legalization is improving by adults, and it is a relatively benign drug compared
to alcohol and tobacco. It's done an impressive job of racking up racially biased arrests, throwing people in jail, burning up police time, and propping up a $30 billion illegal market, enriching psychotic personal zoo-owning Mexican drug lords. But it hasn't stopped Americans from smoking a ton of weed. We're up to 20 to 30 million users, 3,000 tons, 6 billion joints a year, and rising. And teenagers, who ideally shouldn't be toking up on a regular basis, say pot is easier to get than beer. Quote, there's that Talmudic principle that a law that's not obeyed is a bad law, says Dr. Mark Kleiman, a drug policy expert at UCLA and the co-author of the new book, Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. He continues by saying, quote, I think we're pretty much at that point, end quote. So we're looking forward to the call-in from Dr. Kleiman on the line. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Dr. Mark Kleiman, PhD from UCLA, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure. You know, I'm really interested in talking to you about this issue because, of course, you're speaking to a very pro-marijuana legalization audience. And so when we hear things like mid-grade marijuana would be so cheap, it'd be given away like bar nuts, that actually sounds like a really good thing to us. Explain this economics. Explain this economics as to why the marijuana would be so cheap under legalization.
Well, distinction here. There's legalization at the state level, as Colorado and Oregon and Washington are now considering for the fall. And there's legalization at the national level. Compared to the current fully illegal situation, legalization at the state level would cut the price of marijuana by about 90%, a little less. RAND estimates that an ounce of marijuana that sells for $300 in a California dispensary would go for about $50 in a fully legalized retail state, because the production would still have to dodge federal enforcement, so you couldn't like have a farm field of it or a greenhouse full of it.
Sure.
But you could rent a house and grow it inside the house, and that's probably not enough activity for the DEA to pay much attention to, and it would be legal under state law. And doing the calculation about, you know, how much you have to rent the house for and how much you have to pay for the grow lux bulbs and the cultivators and so on, RAND has estimated that the full retail price would be $40 to $50 an ounce.
And we hear from...
plus whatever the state tax would be.
Right. And then we hear from people that say, of course, with that dramatic decrease in price in these western states, that would also lead to a price decrease across the nation. But wouldn't the illegal buyers and sellers still be forced to deal with their prohibition risk at the state and federal level? I mean, would the prices really come down that much?
Sure they would. But so if you're a drug dealer in New York, marijuana dealer in New York, you're currently paying about $2,000 a pound for top-grade marijuana in California. Or you're paying somewhat less than that for much less good marijuana, just this side of the Mexican border. Right? Those are really your two options. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave out Canada for the moment. So you can pay $2,000 a pound. That's, call it $150 an ounce. For sense of me in California, or somewhat less than that for commercial grade for Mexico. Instead, you could just, you know, get some kids in Colorado each to go to 10 marijuana retailers and buy the 1 ounce limit from each of those retailers. So if you got 10 Smurfs, you've now got 100 ounces of marijuana. It cost you $5,000. That's a lot cheaper than you can get in California. And then you just have to either drive it home or FedEx it home.
And certainly a lower risk for that person in New York.
Much lower risk for that person in New York than buying from a strictly illegal dealer. Hmm. So the price in New York would go down as a result of legalization in Colorado. But that's just the state level thing. Now, the beer nuts level is something else. If the federal government legalized marijuana, so you could grow it the way you grow corn, you know, in big fields with combines to harvest it and mechanical processing, then we're looking at another factor of 10 decrease in the cost of production. I mean, look, marijuana is a weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not very hard to grow. You know, it would cost what tea costs. And what does a tea bag cost? A couple of cents.
Yeah.
No reason a joint should cost more than that, produced fully legally. Now, you could raise the price with taxes, but how much could you raise it before people started evading the taxes? That's what we're seeing with cigarettes.
Sure.
Now, you said, that sounds like a really good thing. I want to suggest it doesn't sound like a really good thing. Reminds me of an old ad for some brand of premium scotch I saw in the New Yorker a million years ago. It said, you know, if the difference in price between, I don't know, Shivas Regal or Johnny Walker Black or whoever it was, and ordinary scotch matters to you, you're drinking too much. If paying what's a joint cost these days of good quality pot, maybe
$7, $10.
$4?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. And it'll keep two people stoned for 4 hours, roughly. So they're paying 50 cents an hour to get stoned. So the candy bar they eat because they got the munchies costs more than the pot did. If the price of the pot matters, you're smoking too much pot.
Well, I guess we have to define what smoking too much pot really means. I mean, I smoke pot every day, probably more than 90-95% of the people that use marijuana. But I'm very productive. I don't get into trouble.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what is the danger we're worried about here if there's an increase in use or a decrease in price?
The danger we're worried about is that some people, but not a trivial number of people, who smoke the amount you smoke or more, actually find that it interferes with their lives. Right? So if you look at the household survey, you get about, you know, projection to the population. You got 2 million people saying that their marijuana smoking is seriously interfering with their lives. Now, that's not nearly as many as would say that for alcohol, because alcohol is legal. It's not a small number. And one of the things that keeps people from smoking a lot of pot is it costs money. Any commodity I know, if the price goes down, consumption goes up. And my argument would be, look, people who are smoking a reasonable amount of pot aren't paying that much for it. It's not a real big factor in their budgets.
Hmm.
The guys who are, you know, wake and bake, you know, smoking 8 joints a day, it's a big factor in their budget. Well, good.
So then the effect of this then is we keep marijuana illegal, we arrest a bunch of people for it, and that maintains an artificial price support that prevents people from overdoing it. But doesn't that artificial price support also enrich murderous Mexican cartels?
Absolutely does. That's the problem of marijuana policy. You've got a trade-off between illegality with all the costs of illegality and free availability with all the costs of increased drug abuse. You got to try and figure out where on that spectrum you want to lie. My view is we'd be better off conceding that some people are going to smoke too much pot, making it legal, trying to make it as expensive as we can under legality, and try to limit the marketing. Right? So my ideal system would be that people would join co-ops the way they do in Spain, that there would not be big marijuana companies, you know, running Bud versus Bud Light ads on the Super Bowl. But I don't think we've got any idea what, you know, a real free market business could do with a fun drug like marijuana. Think how well they've done with beer.
True, but...
And remember, the people in that business would not be at all interested in people who like to get stoned on Saturday night.
No,
they're not using enough pot to matter, because they're not using enough pot to matter.
Right, right. This is the same alcohol argument that's made, that the alcohol
exactly.
companies want the serious drinker. The casual drinker doesn't really matter to their business. But in that situation, we're talking about something that's toxic to healthy cells and organs and kills people that don't drink, whereas marijuana doesn't even kill the people that do smoke. It seems to be, even if we did have companies that were advertising and making a lot of money by selling marijuana, so what? McDonald's makes a lot of money selling Big Macs.
No, I mean, look, I agree, of the currently illicit drugs, cannabis is the most legalizable. You know, in the sense that the health damage is limited and the personal damage is limited, not zero. You know, this, nobody ever died, is sort of silly by those standards, nobody ever died of smoking tobacco either.
Nobody ever died of smoking tobacco?
Well, if the rule is you're looking only at fatal overdoses, Okay. Cannabis smoking damages the lung.
I concede there's not a fatal overdose for nicotine, but certainly it's the major contributor to, you know, lung cancer.
Yes, and it looks like cannabis does not cause lung cancer, but it does cause other kinds of lung damage. It's very implausible that nobody dies. It's very implausible that nobody ever died of an accident that happened because he was stoned. But in the real world, people hurt themselves.
Conceded.
And so it's not zero. It's not very large. You know, the best argument for cannabis is that if there was more cannabis around, people would drink less. The problem is we don't know whether that argument is true or not. Right? Because we know that alcohol and cocaine, for example, are complements. If there's more cocaine, people use more booze. If there's more booze, people use more cocaine.
Yes, yes.
We don't know whether they're making marijuana legally available would lead to more or less heavy drinking.
Haven't we seen some studies showing a decrease in alcohol consumption in the medical marijuana states, or at least beer consumption?
Very. I mean, there's studies on both sides of that issue. And notice the medical marijuana states, marijuana costs what it costs in the black market states.
Right.
It's not cheap. Right? We have not done the experiment with widely available, legal, cheap, heavily marketed pot. We just don't know what the consequences would be. Now, look, that's not a good enough reason for saying, oh, let's be afraid to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good enough reason to say, look, let's not be too confident. I mean, now, look, I don't disagree with people who want to legalize cannabis. I disagree with the people who say, oh, let's legalize cannabis. Nothing bad will result.
Aha, yes. Okay.
Very implausible that nothing bad will result. We've got to figure out what those bad things are, figure out whether we can come up with policies that will limit the extent of the bad things.
Very, very reasonable. You know, Dr. Kleiman, I appreciate these viewpoints because oftentimes I find myself being the guy in my community saying, now, hold on. It's not harmless. Anything that alters your perception isn't harmless. It's just a whole lot less harmful than a bunch of other things.
Exactly.
Oh, well,
exactly. We're on the same page.
Excellent. Well, you know, I look forward to, you know, talking to you more about this, and, you know, with all the events that we do and conferences and such, maybe we'll get a chance to meet in person sometime. Dr. Mark Kleiman is one of the co-authors of Marijuana Legalization, Everything You Need to Know, and a professor of public policy at the University of California, Los Angeles. And thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. I appreciate your expertise, sir.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. When we come back...
Yeah, that's our interview from back in July of 2012 with Dr. Mark Kleiman. He's now been appointed. His company won the bid to be the consultant for Washington State's marijuana market. So... the man with those attitudes is trying to shape the market in Washington State. And I think he made it quite clear that marijuana use should be discouraged. We should do everything we can through taxation and legalization and regulation to make it as tough as possible, as expensive as possible, as difficult as possible for adults to use marijuana. He's in charge of the Washington State program. Yippee! Hey, when we come back, we got time for a radical rant, another look at the state of New Jersey, the no garden state, and some heinous comments from Governor Chris Christie regarding medical marijuana and a 2-year-old. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So,
free.
nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, you corpulent waste of human flesh. I'm going through the headlines today, and I come upon this one from NewJersey.com. Christie said he's, quote, not inclined to allow, end quote, children in the New Jersey medical marijuana program. Now, that first caught my attention. The other thing that caught my attention is the father in this next case goes by the name of Brian Wilson. Kind of just made me perk up. So I'm looking at this story, and this is the thing that's frustrating about this, is New Jersey's medical marijuana law, as signed by outgoing Governor Corzine, and which is law, the law the governor is supposed to follow, right? The medical marijuana law is open to minors. It's not like he gets to decide whether or not it's open to minors, but in a sense he does. Check this out. His quote was that... he's not inclined to allow children to participate. He says, now the case is the case of Vivian Wilson, little girl, 2-year-old child with a severe and rare form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. Or maybe it's Dravet, maybe it's French, I'm not sure. But she's got this rare form of epilepsy. She received a medical marijuana identification card from the state health department in February. But her parents, Brian and Megan Wilson of Scotch Plains, have been unable to find a psychiatrist to support her enrollment in the program. What? A psychiatrist? What you're saying? Yes, that's because New Jersey's law requires the approval of a pediatrician and a psychiatrist and the child's prescribing physician, who must register on the state of New Jersey's doctor registry before the family can purchase the drug on the child's behalf. Remember, they can't grow their own. They can go to the one dispensary in the state to get this medicine that will help their 2-year-old daughter not have seizures. This is what Christie said in response to this situation, because they are trying to, if I remember the story right, they're trying to go around it here. They're trying to ask the governor directly about this. The Wilsons are asking lawmakers to make an exception for their daughter and other seriously ill children who cannot be helped with traditional medication. This is what Christie had to say to that. Quote,
I have the health commissioner looking at that particular situation and making recommendations to me. But I'll tell you, I've said this all along and I'll say it again. I want New Jersey to be a compassionate state. And for people who this is your only option to get pain relief, for those who are terminally ill or chronically ill, we've authorized it. But I am not going to allow New Jersey to become a California or Colorado where someone can fake a headache and get a bag of pot on every corner. So I'm very concerned if we go down this slope of allowing minors to use this, where it ends. So I'll have the health commissioner look at it, report back to me, but I don't want to mislead people either. I'm not inclined to allow them to have it. End quote.
Christie, you turd. We're talking about a 2-year-old child with epilepsy, and you're going to bring out a slippery slope argument that kids might be able to go to, teenagers might be able to go to any corner and pick up a bag of pot after faking a headache. Well, guess what? Guess what? In every city in New Jersey, teenagers can go to the corner and get a bag of pot, and they don't even have to fake a headache. It's called the illegal market that is never going to go away. And nothing about giving a 2-year-old with a rare form of epilepsy the ability to go to one of your state dispensaries that only stocks 3 different strains that must be below 10% THC is going to do a damn thing about whether or not teenagers end up getting weed on the corner in Newark. Governor Christie, you repugnant, execrable piece of crap. This just boils me because, of course, you know, brave Michaela is near and dear to us. 7-year-old girl right here in Oregon. Alex Eccles, very near and dear to us. Cashy Hyde, very near and dear to us. Even going back to Danny Grinspoon, you know, Lester Grinspoon's boy. This is insane. And this is why I keep struggling with having to deal with this medicalization of marijuana, this why we're using it. Because no matter how you try to craft it, somebody gets left out like this. And now it's a 2-year-old girl in a state that allows minors to have it, in a state where the legislature said, you know, this is a good medicine for some people. And my God, if a kid is sick, let's let him have it. But because you put the hoop so high, 3 different doctors, thank God these people have some means to be able to afford going to 3 different doctors, a pediatrician, a psychiatrist, and their own physician. And how many pediatricians did they have to go through before they could find one who'd sign? And how many psychiatrists have they gone through? How much of this time has it taken? And how much has their little 2-year-old girl suffered because they can't jump through these hoops? Now, the Wilsons say, according to this NewJersey.com story, that prescription medications, a strict diet, and use of an eye patch during waking hours, the little girl looks like a pirate, for God's sake, have helped reduce the frequency and severity of Vivian's seizures, but she is still at significant health risks and her development is delayed, her parents say. They say they are anxious to obtain an edible form of marijuana high in cannabidiols, or CBD, but low in psychoactive properties, or what gives people that high feeling. One strain, Charlotte's Web, is helping 19 children and young adults with serious forms of epilepsy in Colorado. The father, Brian Wilson, said, quote, children's lives are being saved in Colorado and California. If Christie is against that, then what is he advocating? Death? Brain damage? End quote. Governor Christie, this 2-year-old suffering is on you. You can do something about this. It's legal. You can show that you really do want New Jersey to be a compassionate state and move on this case. Letting 2-year-old Vivian relieve her epilepsy with CBD that doesn't even get her high is not going to affect whatsoever the fight against marijuana in the cities or whatever you want to call it. Drug-free New Jersey, whatever the hell. And again, cases like this just make me struggle with the medicalization when I see kids not being able to get on a program who clearly qualify, when I see the last 8 states that have passed now have no home grow, when Illinois won't even recognize chronic pain for people. We got to push real hard, and I'm specifically talking to us out west here. 2014, the whole West Coast needs to be legalized. If we don't establish the right of people to use marijuana for whatever reason they want, then the pendulum's going to swing back hard in 2016, people. And it's going to get worse in 2020 when cannabinoid pharmaceuticals come through the trials, start getting paid for by insurance, and these East Coast states start replacing their dispensary programs with marijuana cannabinoid pharmaceutical pharmacies. Wow. All right. That's all the time we got here. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Join us in hour two. You got all sorts of new stuff in the shop to talk about and our upcoming schedule. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.